We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Well, hey there. Thanks for being here. I'm back. Yes, I'm back. 3 days off in a row after a weekend. It's like I've been on vacation, but I wasn't. Had a medical procedure done. We'll talk about that later. But I want to talk about something more appealing right now. And that's Isaac Willauer is here from Young Voices. He's a political writer with an organization called Young Voices. And they've been getting us smart young people, politically astute and with all kinds of observations to make, to come on the air and talk about the columns they're writing and stuff. So, Isaac, nice to have you back. We're going to discuss the war on milk. It's about time they fought a war against that white, insidious beverage. So tell us about it, Isaac. What's this
hey,
all
Todd,
about?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing? I'm really glad we get to talk about this. It's the opening act to you discussing this medical procedure that happened. That's great.
They fit together nicely, too.
Hopefully they don't. So the point... So this is one of those really nutty stories that happens every once in a while when ESG activists get to like speak out about their little pet issues. So recently, yesterday, in fact, or Wednesday, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and Not People Who Want Milk in Their Coffee, apparently launched their latest volley in the war for corporate utopia. Their plan is to get rid of to force Starbucks to subsidize vegan milk. So this is as bizarre as it sounds.
Oh, because they charge you extra, you mean, when you want an oat milk?
They charge you an average of 70 cents extra, and apparently this is just deeply injurious to the American experiment and the future of corporate goodness. But yeah, this is PETA's plan, is to force Starbucks to eat the cost of vegan milk, which costs more to produce. And as I argued in Real Clear Markets this morning, outlets as notoriously conservative as Mother Jones have pointed out that vegan milk costs more money. But to PETA, this does not matter.
But hang on a sec. Does it cost more money because it's new and they haven't developed the infrastructure? If demand for oat milk and soy milk and whatever else they use, If that were as high as dairy milk, wouldn't that drive down the prices? Because you would think it's cheaper to grow oats than it is to grow animals.
100%. 100%, Todd. Yeah. No, this is the truth. It's oat milk. Vegan milk is a nascent industry. It is very, very new, as opposed to people have been drinking milk for significantly longer than like 30 years. So this is the reality. But the problem is, as of now, vegan milk is still significantly more expensive, and PETA is not asking Starbucks to adjust their prices as the price of vegan milk goes down. They're asking them to do it now, unilaterally, as a business, and to just whatever cost is accrued by that. That's just the cost of doing good business.
But that doesn't mean Starbucks is going to listen to them.
No, it doesn't. That's correct. And so props to Starbucks, props to their shareholders. The proposal is rejected. But the problem is, when you get to moments like this where ESG activists feel... This is not the kind of proposal.
Tell us what that means, that ESG thing. What's that?
This is the sort of proposal that should be laughed out of the room before it should ever go on any sort of public-facing document, right? It's so bizarre. It's so out of left field in both senses of the term. This is the kind of thing that shareholders do not want, because it will result in increased costs for them from Starbucks. These ESG activists are asking for things that hurt the consumer and that hurt the business.
No, they're just, in terms of PETA,
man, so brazenly.
But hang on, PETA is like the Donald Trump of activism, right? They know how to get the free press and how to control a news cycle. And they started out, I don't know, it must have been like 40 years ago when they wanted people to stop wearing furs, and they went and threw red paint on a couple of women's furs who were wearing white fur, and that, it caused an absolute furor, and everyone stopped wearing furs because they didn't want to be the victim of that kind of attack. And this is great PETA PR. They get tons of press for doing nothing but writing up a little press release. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and super gluing their hands to cafe counters. They send their activists to super glue their hands to coffee counters because that's really sticking it to the man. But the point is, I mean, the proposal has been rejected, right? It's not a win for PETA yet, although on the PR front, I can definitely see your point. But I think it's a wake-up call to all of us who care about good corporate governance and companies being accountable to their shareholders of these are the people that we are up against. They have this level of economic understanding, and they think that this is completely normal. They think that this is what counts as corporate best practice.
What
and
is
we realize how bizarre it is.
Can you back up a little bit? Tell us about ESG you mentioned. What is this and why is it?
Yeah, so ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance, right? ESG. And it's the ESG takes a lot of different forms. It sometimes will talk about issues of racism. You saw this a lot, especially post-2020. Demands for everything from public statements to more recently we've seen things along the lines of asking companies to publish unadjusted median pay gaps based on race, which is a very inaccurate measure of company income that can make companies seem racist even when they're not, because they are, as we said, unadjusted. ESG is basically political correctness for 2024. It's a very corporatized version of political correctness. How do you make sure companies are not only having the right opinions, but making sure that their corporate weight is put behind those correct opinions? How do we make sure they're saying the right, appropriately woke things about racism or about gender ideology?
How does who make sure?
This is what ESG has morphed into. What's that?
How does who make sure that they're saying the right things and doing the right things?
So essentially, whenever public companies have meetings, they take shareholder proposals. Mm-hmm. And there are very powerful groups, most of them on the left, that argue for these sorts of publications by companies, reports, these sorts of things, and then shareholders vote on them. Their goal is to get enough shareholders to vote on them to put this into company policy. And sometimes they succeed, a lot of times they don't, especially on some of these more lefty things. That's the plan.
So you're saying there's a movement now among shareholders to intimidate the companies through the stockholder meeting, that the leverage that somebody who has a partial ownership in the company, they band together and they say they want things, and then that becomes an agenda item and the company has to consider whether to do it or not. And we've seen plenty of cases where large institutions, in order to avoid potential conflict, which is the opposite of what their goal is, they want to make profits, not have conflict. So they have an inclination, I think, to cave in on ridiculous things, and then those ridiculous things become institutionalized. They become part of the culture. Is that what is their end game? Is that what you're concerned about, Isaac?
So yes and no, Todd. So yes, in the sense of sometimes this works. In this case, it didn't work. Shareholders are, by and large, very smart. They understand that this is a net negative for the company as it stands right now. They understand this would result in increased prices. They don't want it, even though PETA's section of shareholders may. They vote against it. It doesn't happen. But PETA will keep trying. Everybody keeps trying. What I'm worried about, fundamentally, is the fact that there are the sort of people who do ESG activism are fully aware that demands like this, like the vegan milk is only the start, right? They're fully aware that these kind of demands hurt businesses. They don't care. They simply don't care, because helping businesses make profit, which should be priority number one for any shareholder, is now no longer the priority. It's now political messaging, political activism, pet causes like vegan milk It's all part and parcel of trying to take the focus of modern business away from making profit, away from fiduciary duty to company shareholders, to political activism.
I want to ask you more about this. Hang on a second, Isaac. We're talking to Isaac Willauer. He is with an organization called Young Voices. If you search his name, W-I-L-L, Willauer, O-U-R, Isaac Willauer. Search him, and you can find his written stuff online. We're going to pause for a break. We'll continue our conversation coming up on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
We're talking to Isaac Willauer, and we're talking about ESG, this movement among investors to make all kinds of nice, politically correct things happen at the behest of them intimidating the company they own stock in. And the story about PETA telling Starbucks they need to even out the price, not charge extra for vegan milk options, is a new frontier that they're fighting on. I wonder what the repercussions are going to be, Isaac. Is it likely this is a first volley and that over time they will pick away and be able to make progress? And does it matter that Starbucks is now unionized in part, and does having a third-party special interest group in some way interfering with the management of a company, I'm referring to the union, will they band together with these guys, with PETA at some point? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Todd. So I think there's probably two ways this could go, probably at least two. One is perhaps more optimistic, which is this is taken as this is just another. I mean, obviously, this proposal from PETA failed miserably and in rather laughable fashion. But so two things could happen here. One, vegan milk continues to become less expensive as supply chains become more efficient and streamlined. And over time, the price, the actual market price, actually evens out, at which point everybody wins.
This happens organically.
Right. Yeah, that's a pun. There's a lot of puns in here that are just completely unintentional. But so that's one way, right? That's one way. That would be the ideal way, because then shareholders win, customers don't have to pay more, the company wins, free enterprise wins, everybody's happy. That's what could happen.
It is remarkable how many people order the special milks.
Yeah, like I don't do it, but I understand why people do it. I have friends who do, and I just, you know, we just make fun of each other, and it's lovely. I have no problem with any of this. But so that's the happy way. That's the happy ending. The less awesome way for this to go is that PETA just continues to push, and even if they can't get Starbucks to do it, maybe they get a smaller coffee chain to do it. Maybe they get some smaller company to be able to do this, to fold under pressure, and then it hurts customers. It hurts coffee customers. So I don't think there's any way for these kinds of demands that come from PETA, accepting organic, long-term market price leveling, outside of that, I don't think there's any way this gets resolved in a pro-business, pro-customer way. And I think they're fully aware of this. Mm-hmm. They just don't care. It's all about politics with these people.
And
we want business to focus on business.
You're aggravated by these people, who the PETA people, making this demand of Starbucks. But there must be other examples of this kind of push for politically correct policies that are hurting companies, that companies are struggling with the demand marketplace. If this isn't a problem, where does your edge on it come from? What's going on?
Yeah, well, our edge on it comes from the fact that we are inherently pro-business. We want businesses to be able to maximize their profits, not maximize their political statements. And we think that depoliticizing business is the best way for businesses to appeal to a wider customer base and be able to provide more money for their shareholders. That's how this has worked historically. And the fact that is somehow not enough now for people who view business as a Trojan horse of sorts for politics, the fact that those people are suddenly not satisfied with it means nothing to me. I maintain that we're right. I maintain that businesses should be focused on business, and I'm not alone in that.
Yeah, they should be, but you're talking like this ESG movement is a threat, and I assume it does have some legs because I hear those letters thrown around a lot. What is going on in the world of ESG that has mattered thus far, that's had impact?
Yeah, it's a pressure game. It's a corporate pressure game because a lot of businesses, some businesses at least, are not willing to stand up to that kind of pressure. It's easier for some businesses to just cave and do these kinds of things that in the end may actually hurt their bottom line, but will avoid, you know, a nasty hit piece on PETA's blog or this sort of thing. And what our edge is that there's a win-win. There's a way for companies to resist the urge to politicize themselves and alienate shareholders and customers in the process, as we've seen with Bud Light and to a lesser extent Target. There's a way out of that. There's a way to not do that. And it involves, perhaps unsurprisingly, historic tools like make good products, tell the truth, have integrity in your business practices, and don't bow to political pressure because that's distracting you from your mission.
All right, so you're trying to be a countervailing force to PETA and the other left-wing groups that are making these demands.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my firm, Boyer Research, many other firms, we want politics largely out of business. We want business to do business. And we'll stand against that, against anybody who would corrupt the goal of business with politics.
It's because we all benefit, you would argue, from having prices be a bare bone, as cheap as possible. We don't want artificial hikes to the cost of operating.
Yeah. Against this ESG surge, we believe in some apparently wildly radical premise that low prices are good. Companies being part of political polarization is bad. We believe in those very basic things, and I think we're going to be borne out as correct in the coming years and decades.
These are funny times we live in. You know, I tend to frequent small, more expensive coffee shops because I love really good coffee, and I like the ones whose owners are out there scouring the earth for the best small supplier of a bold, strong coffee. And it's remarkable to me how many people are buying this extra stuff, and they get a buck. At the place I go to, they get a buck for oat milk being added to your $4 beverage, which is pretty remarkable to me. And I don't drink it because it tastes better with milk, and I've got no reason to go for anything else. But the number of people who are doing it, I wonder what the motivation is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people who, there's some data on this, a lot of people who drink plant milk over dairy like it because they just think it tastes better. I think everyone should be entitled to their choices and what they want to put in their coffee without a bunch of political activists and animal rights activists.
Yeah, you think the marketplace should work it out.
People's way. I think everyone should be free to make those choices, including companies.
Yeah.
And the ESG lobby won't let them.
But nobody should be intimidated or leveraged or whatever.
No. That is correct. Nobody should be intimidated into making bad business practices for political reasons.
How do people find your stuff, Isaac?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, Isaac Willour, ISAACWILLOUR. You can look up my firm, Boyer Research, BOWYER, research.com, and look up Young Voices as well. You can find my stuff there.
Isaac, you rock. Thank you for being here.
Todd, thanks so much, man. Have fun telling them about your medical procedure.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much. 860-522-9842. Not now, though. We will get to it because everything in life is good to talk about on the radio, isn't it? And my medical procedure that, you know, the procedure didn't take 3 days, but the getting ready for it and then the recovery from it did. But it's no big deal. It's all good. And we'll talk about it in due course. 860-522-9842. Rant line number 751-4698. News time on WTIC.
Why wait? Come on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
On, why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
WTIC. You know one thing I've wanted to talk about that we haven't spoken about? Well, we have before, but not for a long time. There's a new push again on, well, the governor is behind it, getting schools to bag up kids' phones during the day. And I just think if you want an example of how utterly irresponsible and uncaring a top-down system of education is about the best interests of kids, they should never have been allowed to walk into any schools with those phones, public schools, that is. And this is a good example of why there shouldn't be a state-run school system, a government-run school system, because you need a marketplace to decide issues like this. You don't need some people pretending to care about your best interest in some faraway location, making decisions for you. Nobody who cares about education would have kids walking around with phones all day. Come on, man. Does anybody dispute that? How do you keep kids' minds focused? There is a crisis right now, I believe, in this country, a mental health crisis for young people that's driven by the time they spend on devices. And the time they're spending on those devices is time spent away from being human, from being with themselves, from learning to think, learning to relate, to socialize, to be educated about life through experience, which is how kids learn. It's how you learn, especially when you're young. But we do that for our whole lives. We do that for our whole lives. We learn by bumping into things. And it starts, I talk all the time about kids, you know, how they crawl under the coffee table and then they lift their head up. And they do that enough times and eventually they learn that the pain is associated with the coffee table and lifting their head, and they stop doing it eventually. And that we don't just do that when we're little. We're always bumping into things and we learn to avoid the sharp edges. The phones are a disaster because kids hide from life and they lose the ability to socialize and they lose the ability to interact and they even lose the desire. Agree or disagree? 860-522-9842. I really want these things out of kids' lives because it's a crisis. It's an emergency, I think. Jeff's calling from Southington. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Todd. So I'm with you on the phone thing. Not letting kids bring phones into the school. I think it's a huge distraction. It's, social media has a horrible influence on their mental health levels. But I'm interested in the comment you made about how government should not be involved in schools, that we should leave that to the private sector.
Okay.
So if you were to start a system from scratch, say go back to 1789, whatever, do you realistically think that the private sector is going to put up all the money to educate our kids? That's a huge capital investment. Where are they going to get the money from? We didn't have a whole lot of venture capital funds back then, you know?
I think if you think about taxation and the amount of money involved with having government provide any service, look at the amount of institutionalized theft that is built into schools systemically so that government can get their vague, so that they could create a special interest group known as teachers unions to jack up the price artificially so that those people would be loyal voters. If you just think about the buildings with thousands of kids running around in them or hundreds of kids, these things are not what neighborhoods and towns would do for their children. It's not a natural way to educate. If you just left money in people's pockets, everything would be so much more affordable and everybody would be so much richer, we wouldn't think twice about the cost.
Okay, but that's not really a realistic approach to take, because if you left it to the private sector and you said, okay, all you parents, we're going to lower your taxes by the per capita amount when you take out all the education dollars that the state provides, which if you look at those costs, I mean, it's huge. But you're not going to lower everybody's taxes by that exact amount. So, for example, the average cost excluding construction. No,
excuse me a sec, Jeff. Your premise was, if you were starting from scratch and you were designing the system, how would you approach education? My approach would be there would be no budgets for government. But now you're arguing you can't get rid of it. It's hard to get rid of it. Your question to me was starting from scratch. There are no schools. How do we do it?
Right. Okay. So you're not going to tax people by all of the money that they would have to pay to send their kids to school. So they're going to have that tax savings. But if you look at what charter schools, private schools are charging for each kid, you're still probably talking $15,000 a year. The average is, so if the average middle class family has 2-3 kids, they're not paying $45,000 a year in taxes that they would now save because.
See, I just think your whole approach to it is locked into the existing system, and I'll tell you why. There are people who homeschool.
Well, I got you there.
How do they do that? They sit in their living room or at their kitchen table, and there is no rent paid. There is no bus driver paid. There is no custodian hired. There are no expenses. The parents teach the kids. I want you to internalize it, not just hear me say it. There is zero.
I know people who do that. I think it's great that they do
there's,
that.
Okay, there's no
I'm all for that.
There's no cost in that model. All right, thank you for the call, Jeff. I just want to be able to say this so I can move on. There's no cost in that model. Then your neighbors come in and say, "Will you take? You have any interest in taking my kids too? I'll give you a couple grand." And then the homeschooling parent says, "Wow, I can have a better education for my kids." And maybe even the other parents want to chip in with helping educate. That's how you get a good school system. You start without the premise of government existing. Government shouldn't exist. Government is the root of all evil. So that's my premise. Do everything without government. The evil in the education system is so grotesque. And this reflection of the caused by the phones in the schools is part of it. They should never have been allowed to walk into the building with their own telephone that they kept on all day. I don't care if they're there and they put it in a box and it stays there for the day. Mark in Manchester next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Todd. How's it going? I completely agree with you on the phone issue. And I don't think it's going to resolve anytime soon. It's going to get worse, you know, with artificial intelligence. I mean, I'm out in the general public. I don't know if you're out in the general public working in a factory. And I see how people interact with each other. And it's like social skills are completely lost. We have a whole generation of people who can't even really can communicate with one another. I think that was exacerbated by COVID, the masks, the acceleration of social media. I mean, the social media platforms, I don't know if you know, but those are engineered. They hire people who make slot machines just to make these things more addictive. And it's only going to get worse.
At some point, we have to save our kids. You know, these shootings, I believe, are deeply connected to what's happening to young people and their feelings of being disassociated and useless and not part of a society and not able to make friends and all these and not able to get educated because they go to schools that don't care about educating them anymore and give them diplomas for having shown up. So that tragedy has to be addressed. And If you just look at the school shooting thing and look at some of the things we're learning recently, we're seeing that there are acute problems developing through negligence.
I think it's only going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get any better. I mean, I don't know if you play around with ChatGPT and some of these things that exist now. I mean, you know, as a human, you throw this into the equation, I mean, think about it. 10 years ago, we really didn't even have smartphones on a mass scale. So 10 years from now, where are we going to be? You know, like, I think humanity's in big trouble.
Well, we are in big trouble. There's no question. Thank you, Mark. 860-522-9842. Frank's in Bristol next. Hi, Frank.
Hey, yeah, I totally agree with you. However, when I have to go pick up my grandkids, the oldest one, 8 years old, has a phone, and he needs to let me know where they're going to drop him off at. But I totally agree with you. I don't know how to get around that.
Well, that's not such a big deal. What the schools are doing now is the kids come to school with their phones. When school starts, they drop their phone into a pouch that can't be opened until a device is turned on in the school that will allow them to open the bag and take the phone out. So there are those kinds of systems in place that will still allow people to let their kids carry the phones, and you still have the conveniences you're talking about, Frank.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you.
Well, thank you, sir. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Talking about phones, we're also talking about the end of public education, which has to happen if we're going to save the country, because public education is a highly negative force that diminishes learning in order to make sure that the system sustains. They deliberately have kids learn less so that the system can work the way they want it to work. We can't abide that. We need a competitive system, one that wants kids to do their best. We'll take a quick break, then we'll take more phone calls on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I don't know how I slipped off the topic quite so quickly. The topic is about phones and why kids shouldn't be allowed to carry them in school, I don't think. And that, my temptation to talk about how public schools are a tragedy for us took over, and I merged the two into a single topic. So either part of it you want to address, feel free. 860-522-9842. It's, I'm fine either way. We're going to Tallinn now. Pam is next. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Todd.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, I agree with you. I don't think there should be any cell phones in school whatsoever. We grew up in a day where we communicated with each other. We didn't need cell phones. And in general, I think cell phones have, like, really done a harm to our population because teachers use them. We don't communicate face-to-face anymore. You can send a text to make an excuse for something. We have no accountability for being people anymore. It just, I think it has wrecked our generation, our children. They are isolated from us because they spend their time on their phones.
They're isolated from humanity. They're isolated from themselves. They don't even know what it feels like to think and to wonder and be bored and push through the boredom and find something inside yourself that generates a desire to do something constructive, you know?
And they have no responsibilities. It's just, you sit at a dinner table and everybody's on their phones, adults, children. You just don't communicate anymore as human beings. And I think it just is ruining our generation.
I'm with you on that, Pam. Thank you so much for the call and for voicing your opinion. George in Canton next. Hi, George.
Well, greetings, Todd.
Good afternoon to you.
Geez, it's not Friday, but it's almost 4. I think I might be headed to my favorite watering hole. I don't
know. You are something. I see a bad habit developing here. You better get a cell phone.
No, it's a good habit. No, here's the thing I'm observing here. The business, first of all, with the education system, it is designed to indoctrinate. Not 100 years ago. They encouraged free thinkers, critical thinking. It wasn't to herd cats, as it were. Mm-hmm. The education system is purposefully designed to keep people in check. Then you can manage them. And the evidence was clear about the bug 19 4 years ago this month, when the bridge troll in Hartford decreed that he was going to shut the state down. And, you know, my little business of taking care of hair salons and so forth, he decreed that beauty salons had to close because they were non-essential, but dog groomers could stay open because they were essential. A capricious decision by a little bridge troll. There was no logic behind that.
All right, but you're staying on the Ned from a few years ago instead of the right now.
Well, the phone, these children, they don't think for themselves anymore. Look at the brouhaha going on with TikTok. They are doing what they're told to do in mass. I mean, they are being herded with these cell phones. And the other thing, your guest that you were speaking earlier, the thing about ultra-progressives, I see a real similarity between this behavior and cancer. Now, cancer doesn't have a brain. A cancer cell has a mission, and it doesn't know the damage it will do, and that is when it consumes the host, it too will perish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least progressives have a brain, but it doesn't seem to be functioning because their behavior is the same as a cancer. They want to consume the host, and they too will perish. But the paradox is they are simply doing what they are told to do en masse.
Very interesting. All right. Thank you for that, George. It's great to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Everett, East Hartford. Hi, Everett.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I mean, as far as I agree with you, as far as smaller is better. In fact, the Supreme Court decision that eliminated Roe versus Wade and put the question to abortion into the hands of the state, they should use the same exact arguments to get rid of the Federal Board of Education. The federal government has no idea what's going on at every little school throughout the country. The people that are in the state are lucky if they know what's going on in their school system. So therefore, it should only be the state, which will bring the power back to the local people.
Wait, what should only be the state?
Department of Education, not the federal government. Each state should have its own Department of Education.
Well, how about if they didn't have a Department of Education?
Yeah, again, a school board in each town and get rid of the Department of Education altogether, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It should happen at the most local place. Everything important should happen as close to the people as possible, because then the scam artists, like if each town did their own schools, then you wouldn't have teachers unions. Why would anybody put themselves in that position? It was teachers unions only exist to be able to rig elections. That's the function they serve. So we have to keep everything at a small level.
I wanted to hit on the cell phone thing real quick.
Got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I understand the fact that it's really convenient to have your child or grandchild have a phone, but they don't have responsibility. Back in the day before we had cell phones, you were told to be in a certain spot at a certain time, and you were responsible to be there, and that built confidence in yourself to be on time and be in the right spot.
Well, you did have to start dealing with logistics, didn't you?
Your child.
Yes, but also
my mom and dad are in my pocket. I'm never independent.
But also we used to just get on the bus or go home or walk home. It was such a different world. Thank you, Everett. 860-522-9842. None of this has made it better, has it? Please. Has the world gotten better, or has it gotten more difficult for young people to grow up in and be functional, happy human beings? Speaking of functional, happy human beings, no, forget about it. Let's talk to Mark Christopher instead. He's in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Hi, Mark.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.